Luke chapter 11, we're going to be looking at the first 13 verses, and I'm going to go ahead and read those this morning. As we begin, you can follow along, and then we're going to dig in. All right, Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse number 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying, speaking of Jesus, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, that when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, who has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise to give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and he that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of you, any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? As we think about the subject of prayer, prayer is one of those subjects that every one of us can do more of. We all need to pray more than we do. And I'm at the top of that list. There's a quotation by a man named E.M. Bounds that has written years ago a little booklet on prayer. Very helpful thoughts in that little booklet. But he said, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or new novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. That is so true. The number one thing our church needs is men and women of prayer that will really truly pray. Someone else said, nothing lies outside the reach of prayer except that which lies outside the will of God. Think about that. Nothing lies outside the reach of prayer except that which is outside the will of God. If it's God's will, and we pray for it, God can give it, and he can provide, and we can have what we've asked for. Like Jesus' disciples, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And so this morning, as we dig into this section, I find here that Jesus gives us, first of all, a pattern for prayer, and then he gives us 2 little parables, just little short little parables. So, in fact, they're so short that some people don't really call them parables, they call them parabolic illustrations. But they're little parables. And we're going to look at those 2 little parables along with the pattern that Jesus gives for us. But let's take a look, first of all, at the pattern that Jesus gave his disciples. One of the disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, here's how you should pray. Pray like this. He says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and so on. And he worked his way through that little model prayer. Now, when we look at that, you think about this situation. Picture in your mind. Jesus had been someplace quietly praying. And as he finished praying, one of the disciples said, Lord, would you teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray? Can you imagine what it would be like to actually sit down or stand nearby and listen to Jesus pray? The Son of God communicating with his Father in heaven. That would be amazing. I mean, if anybody could teach us how to pray, it'd be Jesus. And you look through the scripture, Jesus prayed many times in the scriptures. Most of his prayers are not recorded for us. Some of them are very short, brief little prayers or even suggestions that he prayed. But he prayed before meals, according to Matthew 14:19. He prayed alone in the mountain, Matthew 14:23. He prayed for children. They asked him to pray for the children in Matthew 19:13. And so he prayed for them. He got up early in the morning and prayed, Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, before day. And he prayed at his baptism in Luke chapter 3. And he prayed in the wilderness in Luke chapter 5. And he prayed alone in Luke chapter 9. And he prayed for his disciples in John chapter 11. And he prayed in Gethsemane the night before his crucifixion in Matthew 26. And he prayed for God's will to be done in Matthew 26. Remember that great prayer there in the garden? He said, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me, but if not, thy will be done. He could have prayed for angelic deliverance from the cross. As he was headed to the cross, and he reminded his disciples, he says, think it not that I could now call 12 legions of angels, and they would come and deliver me. But that's not God's will. And so he could have prayed that, but he chose not to pray that. The longest recorded prayer of Jesus in the Bible that is really the Lord's Prayer, often people call what we just read here this little model, they call that the Lord's Prayer. That's really not the Lord's Prayer. That's a model prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in John chapter 17. The whole chapter is Jesus' prayer there before he went to the cross, as he pours his heart out to the Father and he talks to him about the things that were coming up and praying for the disciples and praying for us in that passage. John chapter 17 is a great example of Jesus' prayer. But as we look at this pattern for prayer, what was Jesus trying to teach us here? Jesus did not give us this prayer to memorize or recite. It wasn't something that we were supposed to take home and memorize it so that we could learn it. And then every time we want to pray, we say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and so on. We rattle it off. A lot of people do that, but that wasn't what Jesus had planned. That wasn't his intention when he gave this to us. In fact, over in Matthew, when Matthew gave the same information in his gospel, Matthew included something in the next phrase that was very important that would help people if they would just read the context. He said there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. He said, don't use vain repetition. Don't say something again and again and again. And that's exactly what people have taken. They've taken that little model prayer and they've repeated again and again and again and again. And Jesus said, don't do that. Don't do that. That's not prayer. But why then did Jesus give us that model prayer? Well, he gave it to us so that we would know what kind of things to talk to God about. You know, we might say, well, I don't even know what to talk to God about. What do I talk to him about? Well, here's what. He says here, you should start it out respectfully. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Address God respectfully. You know, I've never heard it from any of you, and I hope I never do, but there's people out there that talk about God being the big man upstairs or just referring to him in a very flippant type of a way. That's not our God. We need to speak to him very respectfully. And Jesus said, open up your prayer with a respectful introduction to God and say, our Father which is in heaven, or something similar to that. It doesn't have to be those exact words, but we're addressing God in a respectful way. And so our prayers respectfully address him. Then also, we desire God's will to be done. You know, when we pray, Jesus was careful to say, not my will, but thine be done. And we really need to pray with that in attitude as well. Because sometimes we come to God and we're really burdened. Maybe you've had a tragedy happen and you're saying, oh God, please, you got to help us through this time. And even then, we still need to say, God's will be done. Sometimes God allows things to happen that we just don't understand. And we can't turn around and say, God, it's all your fault. You're a bad God. No, God's not a bad God. God knows what is best. Just like parents, when the children are constantly asking for candy and lollies and sweets and cookies and biscuits and things of that nature, and mom and dad, if they're wise parents, will all say, hang on now. We'll have some of those when the right time is. But right now, you're not going to, you got to eat your, you know, your peas and beans. And you got to eat your meal. You can't have that right now. Oh, what mean parents. No, they're doing what is best for them. And sometimes we ask God for the lollies and God says, no, eat your beans. All right? And sometimes God wants us to do that because he knows what's best for us. And so we need to make sure that, as he said here in this model prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So when we pray, that's one of the things we should include. God, your will be done. Then he said, pray for your daily needs. You know, God wants you to come to him and tell him, Lord, you know I have a need today. I need safety on my road trip to work. I need you to take care of my family. I need you to provide the funds so that I could pay this bill. Lord, I need your help. And God says, tell me. I want to hear that. You know, sometimes we think, well, why should I tell God all this stuff when he already knows it all? Well, it's the same thing with children. You know, children, we know they have needs. We know that in the morning they're going to need breakfast and that they're going to get hungry. But a good parent, when the child comes and says, oh, but I'm hungry, can I have something to eat? The parent doesn't say, you naughty child, you shouldn't be hungry. I fed you 3 days ago. You don't need it. No. We're happy to hear them say that. And God, the same, he wants to hear us communicate with him and talk with him. So he says, tell him my daily needs. And then, here's one that's pretty convicting sometimes. He said, we need to ask for forgiveness as we forgive. Did you see what he said there? He said there, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And if we're not willing to forgive others, it's pretty hard to come to God and say, God, I need your forgiveness. And God says, hang on, I'll forgive you when you forgive others. And we talked about that a couple, 3 weeks ago. And so that's another thing that can be included in our prayers. And then also, he said, pray that God will keep us from temptation. You know, this is something that I don't know about you, but I'll admit, I don't often think about praying for that. I don't often think, Lord, please today, throughout the day, keep me from seeing things or hearing things or being in situations where I would be tempted. Please, Lord, keep me away from those things so that I don't face those kind of temptations. That's what he said to pray. Keep us from temptation. And then he said also, deliver us from evil. Keep us out of evil situations. Bad things. And, you know, whether it be some danger or whether it be some harm or some wickedness that could come our way and come into our life. Keep us from that. And that's a good thing to pray. Ask God, please protect me. So this is a model prayer that gives us those things. And you look down through that model prayer, you see it all there. It's very simple to understand. Jesus was not saying, memorize this little prayer and say it repeatedly. No. But he says, this is what needs to be included in prayer. You put it in your own words. You put it in your own situation. You include your own burdens and your own needs and your own problems and your own cares in there. But just talk to God about all those things in your life. That's what God wants. Now, Jesus followed this up with a parable. And it's interesting that he follows up his statement here with this parable. He says there in verse number 5, which of you shall have a friend, and he shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for my friend of mine is come in his journey, and I have nothing to give him. I have nothing set before him. All right, so the situation here, the story that Jesus is telling, and we can all kind of picture in your mind, it could be reality for us as well. You know, somebody shows up late at night, you know, wasn't expecting them, And most of the time, we have enough stored up in cupboards and pantries and stuff that we'd find something to give our guests, even if it was just a box of crackers or something to keep them from starving. But we feel bad about that. But in those days, it was a shameful thing to have a guest come, and they didn't have refrigerators, and, and things of that nature. And so they would eat things that were fresh every day. And he, the family had already eaten up the bread that they baked that morning. They didn't have any more. They'll bake some more in the morning. But this friend comes at midnight and he's hungry and he needs something to eat. And it's a shameful thing to say, I'm sorry, mate, but I don't have anything to give you. You'll have to go to bed hungry tonight. And in the morning we'll fix a nice big meal. He says, no, I need something now. So he says, hang on now, I'm going to go visit my neighbor. I'll be right back. He goes over, knocks on the neighbor's door, and says, friend, wake up. I've got a friend that just came, and I don't have any food for him. And I need 3 loaves of bread. And what does his friend say? You know, putting in our own words, he says, go away. It's midnight. I'm in bed with my family. And in that situation, in those days, you know, when he says he was in bed and the children were with him in bed, they, a lot of times, in their culture, would mom would sleep on one side, dad would sleep on the other side, and all the kiddies in the middle, and, you know, to kind of keep them all in line. And, you know, to get out of bed with all the family right there in bed, it would be a bit of a ruckus, and it'd tend to wake them up. And he said, I can't do that. And so he didn't want to get up and give him anything, but his friend said, listen, I need bread. And I can't just ignore this. I need bread, and I know you got bread, and I know you're my friend. Please give me some bread. And he says that he wouldn't give it to him because he was his friend, but because of his importunity, he did get up, and he gave him his bread. And that's an important thing for us to see. The word importunity, what does that mean? Well, the Greek word behind this literally means shamelessness. Shamelessness. He was not ashamed to knock on his friend's door at midnight. Now, I think I would feel a little bit ashamed. If I have a need and in the middle of the night, I wake up and I need some bread and I go over to Peter's house and I knock on his door and ring the doorbell and, come on, Peter, I need some bread. Go away, it's midnight. And, you know, I keep on, oh, but I gotta have it. And he finally, because I'd feel kind of embarrassed about that. I'd feel ashamed about that. I'd think, oh, I'll wake him up in the middle of the night. I mean, I wouldn't like to be woken up in the middle of the night, and I don't want to wake him up in the middle of the night. But the word says that he was shameless about this, and he continued to knock, and he continued to ask. And there's a sense in which, as many, even some translations of the Bible do this, but the many commentators would say the word has to do with perseverance or continuing to knock. But the actual word literally means to be shameless. And I suppose if you're shameless enough to keep on knocking and keep on knocking and say, come on, I need that bread, please. If you're shameless enough to do that, the persistence is definitely there as well. All right? And so that's the picture he's given to us. Now, God tells us in James chapter 1, in verse number 5, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth them all men liberally or generously, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now that word upbraideth means that God is not going to mock us. He's not going to shame us. He's not going to embarrass us. He's not going to reproach us or scold us and say, what in the world did you ask for that for? No, I'm not going to give you that. He says, if you ask with a genuine heart, and especially in that case, he says, asking for wisdom. You know, that is one of the promises of God that it goes to every one of us. We all need wisdom. And God says, if you lack wisdom, come and knock and ask, and I will give you wisdom, and I will not mock your situation. I'll give it to you, because you need wisdom. And we can ask God confidently and believingly, God, you said, if I ask for wisdom, you'd give it to me. God says he will. And we can ask shamelessly about that. Now, what kind of an application do we see here? Well, one of the things that I want us to note, and it's very important we understand this, some of the parables were comparing parables. In fact, most of them are comparing parables. This one is a contrasting parable. By comparing parables, I mean they would teach you something, like Jesus talked about the sower and the seed, and he's comparing the sower that sows his field with a Christian who's passing out tracts or telling people about Christ. There's a comparison there. But this parable is a parable that is a contrasting parable. By that I mean, he's saying, you ask your neighbor, and you have the courage and boldness to go over and knock on your friend neighbor's door and say, I need some bread because I've got company and I don't have anything to feed them. And you boldly ask him and he says, oh, go away, leave me alone, I'm tired, I'm bad, I don't want to get up. And finally he says, all right, quiet down, you're going to wake up the whole neighborhood. I'll come on, get you your bread. And he says, that is a contrasting parable. He's not saying God is like the grumpy, sleepy, tired old neighbor that doesn't want to give you any bread. No, it's a contrast. He says, if the neighbor finally gets up and gives you your bread because you are insisting on it and you're shamelessly asking again and again, he says, how much more will God do that? How much more will God do that? All through these parables we see here today, they're all contrasting parables where he says, this is how man reacts, and if man reacts that way, how much more will God do it? God is not that kind of a God. God is not a sleepy, tired, grumpy old neighbor God that is up there saying, why are you bothering me again? You just asked me about that yesterday, and I don't want to hear about it. God's not like that. God's saying, ask, and I'll give you. And he's encouraging us to give. God wants us to bring to him our genuine needs. You know, if our request that we bring to God meets certain requirements that are scriptural. You know, sometimes people look at Bible promises and say, well, God promised to give me anything I ask for, so I'm going to ask for a Porsche car. And God didn't give it to me, so I guess God's not answering my prayer. Well, hang on now. Let's look at what does the Bible say? There are some qualifications for prayer. And we're not going to delve into all of them, but I'll give you a few of them to give you some thinking on there. First of all, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, it says that we need to ask according to His will. We need to say, God, I believe with all of my heart that this is what You want for me, and this is what is best, and therefore, God, I'm asking You to give it to me because I believe that it is Your will. And if it's not, then it's okay. Don't give it to me. James chapter 4 and verse 2 says we need to be careful not to ask for the lusts and desires or wishes of our heart. An unsaved man recently, I was chatting with him and talking to him about the Lord a little bit, and he said, oh, God's been really good to me. You know, every time I go and I buy my lotto card and I have a picture of Jesus and I rub it on the picture of Jesus and I've been winning lots of money. I said, oh boy, this guy's got it all messed up. Right? He just doesn't understand. God's not a genie in heaven that we rub the bottle and boof, out comes our wishes. That's not His plan. He says if we pray for our greeds instead of our needs, we can't expect to get that. God says, I'll meet your needs. He didn't say anything about all the greeds that we have. I want this and this and this and this and this and this, all these nice things. He didn't say that. Another requirement is that we have a clean heart. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We see the same thing in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. God said, if there's sin in my life, how can I come to God and say, God, I need your help, God? And God says, hang on now. Why don't you take care of your sin first and then come talk to me? And so we need to make sure that we're not harboring sin in our hearts if we're going to come to God. It needs to be authorized by Christ. You know, often we say and end our prayers, and I do it too, and I'm not saying it's good or bad, but we'll say, in Jesus' name, amen. That's not what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 14 when he said, pray in Jesus' name. When he said, pray in Jesus' name, he was talking about praying with His authority. Praying for what Jesus would authorize. Pray for what He would request. It is His mind and His will. I am representing Him. As I come to God, I'm saying, God the Father, I'm trying to do the work that Jesus, Your Son, gave me to do, and this is something I need to be able to fulfill His work, and therefore, I'm asking You to do it for His sake. And He will give it to me. That's praying in Jesus' name. Not just tacking that little phrase at the end of our prayer. We need to make sure it's what He wants. And there's there's a few other requirements that the Scriptures give us, and I challenge you to just do a look on that. Just Just do a search on the hindrances of prayer. See what you find. I think you'll be enlightened if you'll do that. Then God will not always give us the things that we desire if it's not His will. And His timing is not always the same as our timing. We say, Lord, I need that now. And God says, well, I'll give it to you, but in my time, not your time. And that's important for us to remember. Now, we've looked at the pattern for prayer. We've looked at the persistence in prayer. But I want to notice some promises of prayer that God gives. Look at verse number 9. He says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh, to him that knocketh it shall be opened. All right? So Jesus has given us some words about prayer again. And, you know, when we ask for something, when a child comes and asks you for something to eat, he expects that he's going to get it. Or at least he certainly wants that. He wants to get what he's asking for. And he hopes that that's going to be true. So when we ask for something, we expect to receive it. When we seek something, we hope to find it. That's why we're seeking for it. I mean, you wouldn't go seeking for something that you didn't really want. You're seeking because you're pretty sure you'll be able to find it. You know, that thing you lost and forgot where you put, and it's somewhere around this house, and I can't find it, and I'm looking everywhere. But we expect to find it. And when we knock, we expect the door to be opened. When you knock on someone's door, why do we knock on the door? Because we're expecting that they're home, and they're going to open the door, and I'll be able to talk with them. We expect that. And Jesus said that same thing is true with prayer. If he that knocks expects to have it opened. He that seeks expects to find it. He that asks expects to get it. And he said that's the way we ought to come to the Father in prayer. Sadly, if we honestly evaluate our prayers, often we ask selfishly for things that are greeds instead of needs. And we ask for things to help relieve the mess that we have made. You know, we've made a mess of things in our life, or we've made a mess of things in something. Oh, God, you got to help me out of this mess. What a mess. Well, I'm not saying we shouldn't come to God and ask Him to help us out of our mess, but we need to learn from our mistake. And, you know, sometimes people continually come back to God and, you know, want Him to fix their mess every day instead of changing the way of life. And we need to, without knowing it, if our whether our request is God's will or not, sometimes we'll ask God for things. You know, I believe that if we're going to pray for something, especially something significant, we need to first of all make sure that we first pray, God, show me what your will is about this. Is it your will that I buy a new car? God, is that your will? And if we get a genuine peace and go through some struggles with God and he gives us peace that, yes, this is my will for you, then we can say, all right, God, now provide that car for me. You've given me peace that's really what you want. Now provide. And we can come to God like that and ask him to help us like that. But we need to be very careful that we don't just assume that God's going to give us everything we want. And a lot of times the disciples, Jesus rebuked them for lack of faith. Oh, that's convicting to my heart. How many times do we pray with lack of faith? Now, there's some things I don't think we can pray for with the same kind of faith. When we pray for people that are sick, I do not know God's will. I do not know God's mind, whether He's going to heal them. But I need to have faith that God is able to heal them and that God could heal them if that's His choice. I certainly need to have that kind of faith. But there's some things, like if I'm lacking wisdom and I got to make a big decision and I need God's help, I can come to God, according to James 1:5, and say, God, I need wisdom because I don't know what to do in this situation. It is a tough one and I got to make a major decision. I need your wisdom. And God says, I will give you wisdom if you ask. He said it. And I need to have faith and say, God will give me the wisdom because He said He would. You need to have faith. And I fear that many times we don't get what God wants us to have because we don't have faith in God. When we knock, but if we find that the door does not open immediately, what do? Sometimes we quit knocking. Say, oh, God, I've asked God a whole bunch of times about this and He hasn't given it to me. I guess, forget it. I won't ask anymore. And God might be on the brink of giving it to us and He just wants us to keep on asking. Why would God do that? Sometimes it's to help us to learn, help us to be patient, help us to grow. He's got a reason for all that, but He wants us to wait on Him. We just don't pray enough a lot of times. And that leads us to the verse 11. And it says, and if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for the fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? What is Jesus saying? Another parable here that is contrasting. He's saying here, if a child comes to you and says, can I please have a piece of bread? You don't go pick up a stone out of the garden and say, here, eat this instead. We wouldn't do that. That's heartless. That's unkind. That's cruel. We wouldn't do that. And he said, if you who are evil people, now he wasn't saying we're all wicked, rotten, no good, corrupt people, but compared to God, we're all evil people. And he said, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts, what about your perfect Heavenly Father? He is going to give you what is right and good if you ask. There's a contrast there. And we need to see that contrast. Very important for us to observe this. Now, he says there that if we... Jesus applied the parable to the Father in heaven, and he said that if the evil father on earth would give it, certainly the holy God of heaven would do so. Now, he says there's something in the last part of 13 that is confusing to some people. He said, how much, if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? What's he talking about? Asking for the Holy Spirit? Well, there's a couple of explanations here, and the first one's probably the easiest to understand. When Jesus lived his life, he lived in the Old Testament until the cross. The cross began the New Testament. And I know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all considered New Testament, but technically, they're all Old Testament until the cross section. I mean, the last couple of chapters of each of those books is in the New Testament. The rest of it's technically in the Old Testament, even though we call it New Testament. And in the Old Testament period, did the Spirit of God live inside of all the believers? No. Only special people at special times for special occasions. There were times, that's why David prayed in Psalm 51. He said, Lord, God, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now, you don't have to pray that kind of a prayer. I don't have to pray that kind of a prayer. Because if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you have the Spirit of God, and He's not going to leave. Because we live in a different dispensation. We live in the New Testament. During the Old Testament, they would pray and ask for the Holy Spirit's help, or His provision, or His indwelling, or His presence, and different things like that. And sometimes He would do that. Another way of looking at the verse would be the fact that the Holy Spirit is the one who meets our needs. He is our provider. He is the one who cares for us. And it could be that if we're asking God, the Holy Spirit's going to meet our needs. He's going to provide for us. Because that's what God does. He cares about us. So, you say, well, Pastor, how do you know that all Christians today have the Holy Spirit? There's a lot of people out there that teach that you got to pray for the Spirit of God, or somebody's got to put their hands on you and you get the Spirit of God. How do we know? Well, there's a good verse for you to mark down. That's in Romans 8 and verse number 9. Romans 8 and verse number 9, it says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." What did God say? He said, if you do not have the Spirit of God in you, you're not a Christian. Because every Christian has the Spirit of God in them. Now, there was a time, right, a little transitional period right after Pentecost, when a few of the Christians didn't seem to get the Holy Spirit immediately when they trusted Christ. That was a transitional period. But later on in the book of Acts and throughout the rest of the New Testament, we don't see that. We see that the moment a person trusted Christ, they had the Spirit of God. And that is true in our lives as well. If you've put your faith in Christ, you have the Spirit of God living in you. He is there in you to help you and guide you. Now, some applications here as we wind up here in this passage. What was Jesus teaching about this parable? Well, he was teaching that God is far better than any human father. He's far better than any human father. He is going to meet our needs. He cares for us. And if you have a genuine need and we meet God's qualifications for prayer, then we can come to God and expect to get what we need from God. We need to have faith. It's important for us to always pray in Jesus' name and for what he wants us to have, but also that he would give us according to his will. It's important for us to do that and not to ask him for something that is not his will. You know, even the Apostle Paul, when he prayed, he records for us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, that he prayed three times for the thorn in his flesh to be taken from him, whatever that thorn in his flesh was. And how did God the Father respond? He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." God said, "My grace is what you need, not to get rid of your thorn. You need grace to endure with your thorn, and that is what's going to help you and meet your needs. And my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." And how did Paul respond? Did he get mad at God? No. He said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I will rejoice. If I got to have this thorn, it's okay." And you know, each of us may have our own thorns. A sickness that just doesn't go away. A problem that just doesn't seem to ever leave us. It's always hanging over our heads. Sometimes God says, "You need your thorn. It makes you a better person. It makes you depend on him. It makes you pray more. Brings you to God more often." God says, your thorn's good for you. And sometimes we need to accept that. But overall in this passage here, what is God trying to get us to see? He says, you need to pray more. You need to pray in faith. Believe. God loves you. He wants to meet your needs. He wants to give to you. He wants to provide for you. Some questions you should ask yourself, and I need to ask myself as we consider the subject of prayer. How do we pray? How do we pray? What's your prayer life like? Are your prayers little more than reciting words to the Lord? I hope not. But you know, we can very easily fall into that, even at mealtime, and say the same little memorized prayer that we haven't really memorized, but we say the same words each time. Don't really even think about it, just rattle it off and then start eating. Do you pray without thinking? Do you daily present all your needs to the Lord? Are there elements in the model prayer that you need to add to your prayer time with God? Do you find that sometimes you're ashamed to talk to God about some of your needs? You know, sometimes we may feel like, I wouldn't talk to anybody about this personal issue that I have. God said, talk to me. God's not going to laugh at you. He's not going to embarrass you. You can talk to God about anything in your entire life. You can talk to God about it. And he's not going to mock you. That's a wonderful thing about God. People may not understand, but God always does. Have you stopped praying about something you truly need because God didn't answer it yet? You need to keep on praying. God will meet the need when it's His time. Do you confidently expect that God will give you what you really need if you ask for it? You know, these are important questions for all of us to ask. And all I can answer for is myself, but I'll tell you, I need to work on my prayer time. I really do. And I frequently pray, Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. Increase my faith. Help me to be more what I ought to be in the area of prayer. And perhaps you need to do the same thing. If you're here this morning and do not know the Lord personally as your Savior, I'm sorry, but you really can't even pray. You can go through the little motions, but you can't talk to a God you don't know. You need to know Him personally in order to be able to communicate with Him. That's where it all begins. So if there's any question in your mind as to whether or not you've put your faith and trust in Christ, I urge you to come to Him today and receive His salvation, that you might become one of His children, and then you can talk to Him every day and have Him hear and answer your prayers.